big kind of taxonomy based ontologies to also within like phylogenetic analyses and things like that. So that's my interest in this kind of project.
Hi, and I think this is, I suppose this is mostly directed for Justin, right? Because he's not already familiar with everyone else here. So hi, Justin, I'm Hilmar Lapp. I'm at Duke University. My day job is being the director of informatics for Duke's Basic Science Genome, Basic Genomics Research Center. What brings me here is that I'm also one of the PIs for the Phenoscape project. And I'm particularly interested in lowering the barriers to further adoption of the infrastructure that we've built over the years.
Justin, I think that we might have met before, but just in case, I am Lorena, and I am in the University of Florida. I am interested in morphological data sets and orchids and in general plants, currently working in flagellate plants that are everything without flowers, all the plants without flowers.
Okay. Well, I'm Justin. I work with Lowell for Ponkage, Jayswal, although I'm actually up in Spokane, I'm not in Oregon. My background's actually in physics. I'm not a biologist, but I handle the lab's computational and informatics. Before.
We call Justin our Skype genie whenever there's a problem. It's like, help! Yeah. Good. Okay. And I guess you guys all know me, so that's good. I'm Laurel, work on Plantium. Talk about ontologies all the time with different people. So, yeah, so this is really great. So we all met. Oh, before I go any further, I was just going to tell you, I'm recording this. Just so that later I can play it back, and if I miss things, then so. But if you don't,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, so it's probably all going to go to Cambridge Analytica afterwards.
The Russians are listening, but if you, you know, just so you all are aware of that, and if you have a problem with that, just let me know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not like highly confidential or anything. We record most of our conference calls just for later review and stuff. Anyway, so. This all came out of the, Lorena and Annika and I and Hilmar, of course, and James Ballhoff and others were all down at Duke University in December, I guess it was, now. And one of the projects that the groups decided to work on, our little group got together and decided we would try to put together these parts for the, to try to get like a light version or a, you know, a beginning prototype type version of a plant Phenoscape knowledge-based platform. So we did a bunch of work at it at Duke, and then it kind of went quiet for a long time, but Annika had sent out a nice summary of what we did, which is actually on the Google Notes that I shared. And I think, Hilmar, I think, are you also on that
image? I'm wondering, I was just going to ask, where did you share that?
Let me make sure.
Did we have a shared Google Drive folder?
Well, we had
we
had a document that we were working on at the meeting. Let me make sure you're shared on this. Been kind of a crazy busy week here. Yeah, Hilmar, you're on this. Yeah. I'll put this in the chat, the link to it in the chat, because I know sometimes it's hard to find these. Get back to the meeting notes here. Here we go. So I'm putting this in the Zoom chat here. Okay, so these were some notes that we took while we were working on the project, and then I copied in the summary that Annika sent on December 21st, so things were together.
Which was actually amazing.
Yes, it was amazing. I was so
happy. It was amazing. It was not only nice, it was amazing.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
We were very happy to see this. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, so, I realized we needed to kind of make sure that we remembered what we did. Because I feel like if I tried to remember it right now.
We know, it's very helpful.
Yeah, so I was hoping that today we could kind of, I know that So I had the opportunity to talk with Hilmar a little bit in Gainesville. I guess it was a few weeks ago now, Hilmar?
Yeah, I think about 3 weeks ago. And two weeks.
Yeah, and so we kind of hashed over some different things. I think we are at a stage where we can start working on it together again, and yeah. Hilmar also, and you can talk more, Hilmar, about your situation, because it's Hilmar is going to have some availability also to work on it. So it seemed like a good time to make sure that we're all on the same page and have a clear sense of where we're going.
Right. That's a great approach, I think. So maybe just to bring Justin and all of us who haven't looked at this for a long time up to speed, we should just kind of go over these notes that you sent out. So you know what, I can actually share my screen. That would probably be easier than everybody trying to get on at the same time.
So I think for overall context, right, which I think is perhaps useful both to recap for everyone else, as well as to bring Justin up to speed to the extent that he isn't yet. But as we alluded to earlier, right, there's been this goal of that subgroup in the hackathon that we were all a part of, that you know, where we wanted to ultimately allow building a plant phenoscape knowledge base instance, right? And so the barriers that were in the way of that was in part a kind of snowflake nature, I'll just put it that way, of the way the infrastructure pieces are put together, orchestrated, and the way the data is ingested and then run through a pretty complex pipeline of computations that then eventually is loaded into the knowledge base. So there's that. But that's not the only part. There's also the part of formatting the data that are to be ingested in the right way, collecting the having annotated phenotypes annotated in the right way, i.e. with requisite ontologies, and then having that formatted in the right way, i.e. in something that mirrors the output that in Phenoscape we get from our annotation tool which is Phoenix. And then also then the corresponding data from the model organism worldwide, which for plants would be presumably Arabidopsis, and would presumably be coming.
At least to start.
Yeah. So there were all these hurdles, some of which we've made actually quite encouraging inroads to. But overall, of course, they were enough. And they were steep enough that we're not anywhere close to building a plant phenoscape KB yet. So I think we all agree that the reason we're back here together is to pick that up again, and we're still, I think, heading towards that same ultimate goal, right? Is that right?
I think it. And from my perspective, I think that's the goal. I'm interested in pursuing it if we can work it out between all of us and different projects and so on.
Yeah. And so I think, speaking to what Annika was just alluding to there a little, there's different levels of scope at which she can, sort of declare victory. Obviously the ultimate level will involve a considerable amount of effort on various fronts, right? Both on setting up machines, deploying, orchestrating infrastructure, running pipelines, et cetera, and also on the annotation side and massaging other input data. But the idea is that whether we couldn't define sort of a proof of concept at a much smaller scope that we can achieve with relatively modest effort, within say the next 2 to 3 months. right? At least, and I'm kind of just speaking off the top of my head or my thinking here, right? So yours may differ, and this be a good opportunity to talk about that. But that's been kind of my overall thinking and hope, right? That we would be able to accomplish that kind of proof of concept with relatively modest effort.
Yeah.
And speaking about that relatively modest effort, that's something Annika was alluding to. For me, that's something I have just been able to obtain in terms of having, you know, a small number, a relatively modest effort funded, which I think amounts to a total of about 10 days. So, you know, it's not a huge amount, but I think it will certainly, you know, allow us to, if we target it well enough, to accomplish something that I think can serve as a proof of concept. And so maybe it's worth talking a little bit further about that proof of concept, right? I.e., what should that actually prove, and what would be the path onwards from that, right? So maybe Annika wants to speak a little bit further about that, but the general, I'll just say the general idea is to have enough in our hands to show feasibility of the whole project and to then use that demonstration of feasibility to put in an NSF grant in a specific category called, or abbreviated EAGR, to ask for that funding of, you know, the amount of effort it would actually take to put a full instance, a full planned PhenoScape instance in place. So, you know, Annika, I don't know what you were having in mind talking further about that EAGR grant, but I guess I'll just say generally why we've been floating that specific instrument, funding instrument around is because it's not a full blown research proposal, really, at least not normally. And it's geared towards sort of rapid action, early exploratory phase. That's somewhere there also in the abbreviation, which I can never remember to spell out.
It's certainly
easy to look up. And so these aren't big grants, right? But they're not super small grants either. They're not meant to span many years. You know, it's typically between a year and two that these should be aimed for, right? So it's a, you know, not a full research project, but sort of laying the basis for one, I guess.
Right.
Is the idea, right?
I think it's good too, because even if we, for whatever, you know, if we don't end up getting the EAGR funding, we would still, with the basis that we, with what we've already built and with what we had begun to, you know, what we have written and put together, we can always regroup and find another venue.
Yeah.
You know, so, if we, you know,
I agree.
What, you know, I spoke with my advisor about that some. She, you know, she said that, you know, if for whatever reason the EAGR grant ends up not being right, she thinks we would be able to definitely find some other venue.
Let me just comment on the whole grant funding thing right now before we go any further. I think this is a great idea, but in terms of Plantiome, we're right in the process of starting to write a new grant right now.
Yeah.
We're in a no-cost extension year, so we're kind of under a deadline and living on borrowed time here. So one possibility, and I kind of brought this up at our Plantiome meeting last week, although I don't think I explained it very well, so it's good that we're meeting, but I kind of floated this as a possibility to be part of the Plantiome grant that we're putting together or will be putting together in the next few months. And so having a prototype would really, you know, really help the case there. So I think it's a little bit early really to think about writing a grant for this at least today, or like to talk about it today. I'd like to see kind of what we have and, you know, how much effort it's going to be to build this and so on.
So, I don't think it is too early in a way, just because we need to, I think, you know, we're different people from different institutions and with different availabilities. And like, so for instance, I mean,
we can definitely talk about it, but what I would really like to do today, kind of review what we've done so far and kind of get everybody kind of on the same page first. And then maybe in a week we could talk about.
I would like to raise my hand and sure. I would like to okay. So I understand the pressure for time and grants. I just want you to know that I will not be for a lot of time in my current position.
Right.
So I have limited availability. I would like though to collaborate with this particular project, and because we have talked with Annika, I will, and I know the interests, I will be able to, and my boss is okay with this, I will be able to generate data for her. Now, at this point, and just to understand the grant, I understand, Laurel, that you would like to work on what is going on, but it's super important for me to understand a couple of things for what will the grant be for. Is it for,
I don't have any idea about that right now.
Yeah, but it's kind of important for us as a group to understand how are we going to write it. So probably Hilmar can give me an idea. So if we write the grant, will it cover salaries? Or if Plantion writes the grant, will it cover salaries or storage or computational? You know, I'm just trying to understand what it's going for.
And like, and what would be the pros and cons of the two different approaches, or can we do them both? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, that is important, I think, just to get things. I don't know, just kind of have a good sense of what we're aiming for at the beginning.
So we had a meeting on Thursday.
Sorry,
yesterday.
Can I just finish? Okay.
Sorry.
So because one thing is, you know, and I talked to Hilmar about this in depth when we met, but, you know, I started this project, you know, the kind of the initial work that I had done before I came to, the hackathon was as a component of my dissertation.
Right.
It still is. This is what I've gotten permission to work on this from my advisors as part of my dissertation. And that's really, I have to be honest, like that's a limit for me. And so I would like, you know, I would like to continue working on this project and you know, doing it, because I feel like it's what I had, you know, had started, but I just want to, that's part of why I want to bring up the grants, is because I need to be very clear and very careful, because I don't want to be in a situation where I've promised something that I can't do, or there to be any confusion. So I know I mentioned to you before, also, Laurel, that, you know, this is something that, you know, Hilmar and I both spoke with my advisor about, and she also was interested in you know, possibly, you know, being a PI for it. Or so I think I am a little hesitant, or I don't know what it would entail to do it with Plantiome, and I don't want to have that be an assumption that that's what is going to happen. That's my discomfort, you know. So,
well, I think we're all kind of on the same page like this. I mean, my time is pretty limited too.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, I'm happy to kind of contribute and work on this too, but I'm just saying that, I mean, I don't know how writing an eager grant would fit in with your getting your thesis done, but we need to have an idea where we're at and what needs to be done in order to decide whether, you know, we want to put our time in and so on.
Yeah.
And like for you, it's really important. For me, it's important. I need, you know, I don't have a lot of extra time to work on all these different projects, but I think this is a really promising project. And I think For your information for everybody here, I think if we don't do this, I think someone else is going to. Because there's a There's a white paper coming out, or a chapter coming out. It's not out yet, but one of the things they talk about in that chapter is that they want to see a plant phenotype, plant phenoscape, you know, some kind of, like, they think that that's the next thing that's going to be the big thing. So I think if we don't do it, someone else is going to, and there's nothing to stop anyone from taking our ontologies and using them for it. So that's just a consideration. So let's review what we've done so far. I'm sorry, I don't have...
Can I chime in here just a little bit? Because I think it's actually a useful discussion. Okay. And it's actually useful to have it up front, you know, because I think it's good to understand between each of us, you know, how much commitment we can bring to the table and under which limitations and under which scope. So that we, you know, kind of know a little bit better what the expectations are that we can and cannot have from each other, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm not in a PhD thesis like Anika is, but as for what I can spend my time on, I'm actually not in such a dissimilar situation, right? In order to invest any substantive amount of time, it either needs to be under my day job, you know, or it needs to be funded, right? So that's why I'm really very glad and happy to have this, you know, even a relatively modest amount of time funded now to pick this project up again. I do think it's useful to think about, I think we're all clear that the time that we have, even if it's, you know, a couple days like I have now, right, even at that level, it's insufficient to bring this project to full fruition, right? I think we're all agreed on that, right? So I think by implication, that means to really, you know, why work on this and not aim from the get-go to eventually bring it to full fruition, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's clear that we want to work towards a sponsorship that allows us to bring this to full fruition, and that has to be a grant, right? I just don't see any other way, right? And so from that perspective, it's useful to talk about which instrument we're actually working towards, because you know, at the end of the day, if that's our next major goal, right, our next major milestone, right, then it's better to know it earlier than later, what that is that we're working towards, right? Yeah. What is it that we need to put in place, right, to satisfy that, right? It really helps focusing the effort.
What was the scope of these eager grants? I'm just looking at this.
Let me just say one more thing, Laura, before we come back to that. What you just said, that you know, if we don't do it, somebody else will. Actually, I wish that were the case. And if that's what I would truly believe, I would just put my hands down here and say, you know, I have enough on my plate, because I actually do, right? It's not I'm looking for work.
Obviously.
Right? I'm not. I have more than enough on my plate, right? So for a while, in fact, I held that belief, which is part of why I've never invested too much effort into that. Why? Because I believe that, you know, that's not something, there's enough interest out there that somebody will just go ahead and do it. But as a matter of fact, despite multiple, you know, sort of fits and starts, it hasn't happened. That's what I can say, right? Even though iPlant at some point has been strongly interested in that and has had somebody, Ramona, in their organization who's championed it, it wasn't eventually taken up. It was still dropped. It was still not done, right? So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody else will do it if we don't. But if that's truly the case, then I don't need to be in this project, right? So the reason I'm here is because I've come to believe that it won't happen.
Perhaps not. I don't know. But it sure looks like there's a lot of interest growing in it. And I can't predict the future, but I'm just telling you what I saw in this white paper that's coming out.
Yeah, it's always easy to write and talk about stuff. Yeah. Totally.
Okay.
And from the freight perspective, I think that we are still far from getting information to put into to feed the whole infrastructure. So I think that we are both in the same plate. So if someone comes with a similar objective, they will still have to get all those morphological traits that we have found that are so difficult to get. So I think we're all almost in an equal condition.
See, I think we're better set up to do it than anyone else, but.
Yes, agreed, completely. Yeah. So just for you to know, I, at no cost, I can produce the matrix, that contains 200 to 300 taxa. So that will have no cost and it will not go in any grant. So I hope that you know that. And from then on, I will pass it to you guys.
Thanks, Lorena.
That's perfect, yeah.
So maybe we can now just start talking about, I guess part of the question is, so we do have these progress notes. I don't think we necessarily need to read through them because I think, you know, we have them, they're in front of us, but, but I guess it would be sort of, I think maybe we can think about, in part, just, I was hoping to hear maybe from Hilmar in particular, what he, you know, you do have these 10 days coming up. What are you planning on doing? What do you need from us during that time, if anything? because that's kind of the most, that's in terms of time, that's the first thing kind of coming up.
Yeah, and I'm still sort of trying to find all the files that we made at Duke. And so we put some questions on, you know, the meeting notes from the meeting that we had yesterday. We sort of were met and tried to get up to steam on things. And I think we need to define, you know, Lorena, maybe you could explain this matrix that you put on here yesterday. Was this in response to this question?
Yes, so can you please scroll it down? Mm. Basically, I am trying to define how to create the matrix, Gilmer and Justin. And so what you're seeing here, for those that are not used to it, this is a phylogenetic tree for the Brassicales, that it's the group that Annika is interested in. So Annika is interested in a group called the Tropeliaceae, but it's towards, yes. So I was thinking about a strategy, and actually this is very interesting for me to talk to both Hilmar and Annika. At one point I thought that it might work better just because the number of taxa that I will be working with extract characters from generic descriptions only and just target Tropeliaceae and Brassicaceae at the species level, and that will save us some time, not a lot, but some time, just to make it more feasible in the time frame that we have. So that's why it was that was the graphical representation of what I was thinking of doing. And actually Annika facilitated this tree. So so you can see that I put the number of genera the number of genera per family in purple underneath the species. That's number.
Nice. Yeah.
So that makes it a bit more manageable to create a matrix. Because one of the challenges for me is that the curation of what we extract is really time consuming. So I was trying to make it so it's manageable. Now, I just don't know if this will be good enough for the plant phenoscape.
Well, we could start at the generic level and then push, you know, and then move on to species, but at least we could build the framework and kind of populate it and then add in the species specific information. I think, was that done at all with Phenoscape, Hilmar? I thought that sometimes there were taxonomic descriptions just to genus or family that had been in matrices that were added in.
So I don't know, Lorena, what kind of publications are you taking this from? Is this from Floros?
Yes, I have a combination.
Sorry?
Yes, it's a combination. So what I got during the hackathon were descriptions from the flora of North America.
Okay.
But because there are so many species, if I narrow it down to genus, I can probably have all the genera.
So that's interesting, right? I mean, here's right away, you know, one of the challenges with plant phenoscape, in that you guys are interested in using the, sort of taxon description type texts as the input and not phylogenetic systematics treatments, right? That would have the matrix right there. So, I don't know, right? I mean, we're a little bit in uncharted territory here, right? This is not the way we've done things, right? So it will really be interesting to start from genera. Seems reasonable to me. Personally, what I would probably have chosen instead is to see whether I can come up with some kind of random sampling from the taxa, from the species themselves, right? So I guess one question I would ask is, what is your data, at what level is the data that you're truly wanting to annotate? At what level is that described? Is that described at the level of species?
Yes.
And then I would annotate species, right? I would not, because how do you get from there to the genus, right? How do you know that that's also valid for the genus if what you're actually trying to annotate is species descriptions?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just sometimes you can get sort of just the genus, you know, there you can get just a generic description as well and kind of go with that. But yeah, you can also do sort of a random sampling as well, or just do, you know, it's about, you know, what about like 4,500 species? How many species in Phenoscape itself?
The number should be somewhere there. I think it's just a little higher than that. Unfortunately, the way this Zoom works, I can't really do anything. So
yeah. Well, you just have to
escape. For the rest of you also, I mean,
just
you know, Laura has completely taken over my screen here. It's like, I can't do, she's like,
she's
my big brother here. I can't do anything. And she's recording me.
No, just go up and escape full screen on the controls.
Where? I can't even get out of this.
Under options.
Yeah, there's an option where you can just escape full screen.
View options and then exit full screen. Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Then you can do other things, yes.
Okay, wow. All right.
It's kind of a standard thing.
Okay.
So,
Laurel had taken complete control of my machine here.
Sorry. I didn't mean to take
over. Anyway, so I can look that up in a moment, and it's on the kbeta.phenoscape.org website anyway, you know, what our current numbers there are. But a couple thousand is completely within the ordinary, right?
Yeah.
And I think the limitation is not the KB here. The limitation is how much time do you have to annotate the data, right? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be sufficient to annotate, you know, 1,000 or thousands of species? Probably not, right? And so that's why I was saying, you know, what I would probably try is a random sampling that gives me enough coverage and sort of, you know, not biased, you know, at least as little biased as possible coverage of the whole order, right? So I don't want to have a random sampling where essentially, you know, almost all of my taxa are in one or two or three families, right? And the rest is very sparse, right? So something like that, you know, if you can come up with that, that's probably where we would start from.
And how many How many, can I just ask him a question quickly? How many species would you suggest, you know, targeting if we did this random sample thing?
Yeah, I'd actually much rather defer this question to you because you guys know your order. How many species do you think you need, right? So that's why I was saying earlier, right? Let's define, it's good to know what our goal is, right?
Right.
And I think so. The fewer we can get away with, the fewer we shouldn't do more than we need to get away with, right? For having a proof of concept, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right?
Right.
Why aim for more than that? It's enough work anyway, right?
I think I'm going to come out with a strategy, but because I am not the expert of the group, I might have to refer to Annika, but I think we can figure it out.
And the other one too, or the other option as well, is the way that those, so if we use the method that we had been thinking of, which was to use the ETC platform to extract information from species. That's actually, like, to me, it's not the hardest thing. Would, like, one way to go about it too, it might be to do the full amount of species, but then to really restrict the number of characters that we're working on. So, you know, maybe just doing, you know, three or four different traits and adding those, and then we could add more, because that actually is the hardest stuff. Because anytime we add a new character and different traits, we have to make sure that all of that is in Peyto or is in the plant ontology.
Correct. Yeah.
And
very.
That is actually the hardest. Yeah. The adding this new species isn't as difficult.
Yeah.
It's actually the characters. And I think if we were to get really tight about which characters are we actually interested in the group, that are things that could, you know, that tying it in with Arabidopsis could actually be it. That database could actually give us information on. I think that actually might be the way to limit it as well.
That is a really good idea, because if we do that, the matrix will be, the final matrix will be smaller, but also it will be easier to find those characters in the super big matrix that will come from ETC.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, because it's that's kind of, I think that we could, we can always add more on top of it. We can always add more characters.
Right.
But I think even if we were to just get those species in there and have just some bare bones information, at least we have the species in there, and then we can always layer more information on top. That's my sense of it. But
so I think that, like, you're thinking in three or four characters. I think I could do up to 20 characters pretty complete, because normally I manage matrices that are like 500 characters, and that's like pretty hard for me in the time we have. But I think up to 20 characters will be great. So I think that's a really good idea, Annika.
Okay. So yeah, so maybe that could be that could be a next step, at least for me, is to really think about the group, think about Arabidopsis, think about Brassicales in particular, look over the kind of the interesting character transitions and how they're represented in a flora, and just see what would probably be the most interesting things.
Yeah, and I think we also need to have things that, if we're using this data set from Arabidopsis, things that are associated with genes, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so how, yeah, and exactly.
Not just things that are just generally interesting, but things that we actually can tie to Arabidopsis genes. So we have a fairly good database of phenotypes in Arabidopsis with associated genes.
That's great. Do you have a link for that?
So that's why I have on this list here, what happened with the Arabidopsis file? Those are all in our database. I'm sorry?
That was the one I was working on. Right.
I was just going to answer Lorena's question here. All that data is in our database, in our Plantiome database, and annotated with ontology terms.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Because isn't that where you got it from, Annika? I can't remember.
No, I got it from from that Ulrich et al. Publication.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about, that data. But
okay. I think it's off the website. I got it from that paper, if that was your question. So.
Meaning like the...
I got it from the supplemental information off of your off that paper.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to kind of review things here to get us... Okay, so the data came from... I had forgotten that. Oop, not the that.
Let's see.
So it was
I just posted a link in the chat, you know, where you can get the statistics of what's, at least some broad level statistics of what's currently in the KB, right? So the number of annotated taxa is 5,300 there right now. You know, if you wanted to get a...
Okay.
Yeah, 5,300. Okay, that's great. That's good to know. Yeah.
But I totally agree what's been said over the last, 10 minutes or so by both Annika and Laurel is, you know, which overall, is, and Lorena as well, which overall essentially means, you know, be strategic, right? In terms of which characters you choose to annotate, you know, be strategic. Choose one, you know, prioritize those that have the least chance of getting you bogged down with missing stuff in the ontologies, right? B, choose ones that have a good chance of having at least some overlap with the model organism, right? Those characters you wanna prioritize, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They allow you to get more done, right? And they allow you to get more out of the, you know, even a small proof of concept, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of getting down to the end of the hour here, so.
I will obviously focus my work and my time on with regard to this project, at least initially, you know, certainly initially, is continuing the work that I was doing at the hackathon, i.e. in making the infrastructure deployment and orchestration, less snowflakey and more reproducible, better scalable. So that's going to be my first target, right? But I will, you know, hopefully, within not the too distant future, I'll get to the point where I will want to run data through the pipeline, right? And so that data doesn't need to be the final, right? Doesn't need to be, you know, super polished or anything. It may be very small, but there's value in having some data set sooner than later, right? Because I can't believe that trying to run that data through the pipeline isn't going to throw up some problems, right, that then need to be solved. So I'd rather run across those earlier than later.
Absolutely.
Gilmore, at one point we were wondering where, I remember that you were working in the hackathon and you were trying to set up an account in a service that will provide the first month free or something like that. So are you still facing that? Should we find
space? That's expired. Azure kicked me out.
That's what we were afraid of. So we were wondering what happened with that. And I was wondering, do you need space or is there something we can do from our end?
And that's why we invited Justin along today.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah, so I will need some kind of virtual machine, right? And so I've been actually talking about that with Jim, whether Renzi, the place he's at, would be a possibility for that. There's some resources at my own institution, but I'm not sure what the, you know, some limitation there might be, the login credential that might not allow anybody else to actually log in there. So
speak to what resources we might be able to provide for that.
At this point, we don't have any VM stuff on our own hardware, but we've been talking about getting some Docker stuff set up. In the past, what we've done is just use Cyverse's VMs that are available. But they're, they have a process to go through to apply for it, and they've been a little bit stricter, I think, now, a year or two.
So does it have to be a virtual machine then? I'm a little clueless on this whole section of this.
It doesn't have to be, but I don't think not, you know, using bare metal would make anything easier. In fact, probably the opposite.
What kind of space are you talking about? Yeah. Or like, I'm trying to understand that.
Yeah, good question.
Just machine, you know, a machine on which the server side of the whole infrastructure would run and be deployed on, right?
So you don't need a, like a, so I'm just trying to understand it in terms of, you know, so at UF we have our big supercomputer Hypergator.
Yeah, so there's that. That'd be a possibility too, right? I think there's actually some fairly powerful stuff on that cluster, if I understand that correctly. We have some allocation, or at least a promised allocation there for the PhiloRef project. So from that, I know that there's fairly high-powered machines on that cluster. So yeah, that's a possibility.
So we could get you into, get the whole thing in the research computing if we can make the case for needing large amount of storage and computational power.
So, yeah, I don't, I think the main unusual requirement is not so much storage. You know, my understanding is that even with the full PhenoScape KB, we're not, you know, in terms of what people are usually used to from, say, genomics, big data, right? We're an order of magnitude lower there. So, you know, we're maybe up to half a terabyte there, you know, 500 gigabytes, but that's still not really that much, you know, in today's age. And it's also not that really that many CPUs are needed. What is needed for the reasonable part is a fair amount of memory. So we'll probably want to have access, even if not initially, then at least eventually to a machine with, you know, at least 80 gigabytes of memory, if not a little more than that.
So I'm looking at the what Lowell's writing there. Do you have a Docker image for it or something? Are you working towards that?
Yeah, there's two Docker images that I have working, one that I am working on still.
Would that be your preferred VM system?
So that's the way I'm building right now, you know, is getting into place Docker images for the different components, make sure they work. And I'm sort of at the point where I'm between that and working on the orchestration, right? And so my first thought on orchestration was Docker Compose, but I'm actually leaning towards using OpenShift now, and have done some exploratory work in that direction. So that's Kubernetes, in fact, in essence, under the hood, right?
Yeah, I haven't. I've heard mentions of OpenShift, but I haven't looked at it. To be clear, as a lab, we haven't used Docker or anything like that on our stuff at all. So it would be new, but we've been talking about it for other projects anyway. So it'd be nice if everyone's kind of doing the same thing so we don't have to run multiple systems. But, you know, whatever's...
Yeah, but for containerization, Docker is probably a good standard too.
Yeah.
You know, converge around. It's orchestration piece that I think, you know, have several possibilities, you know, several technologies, you know, pretty actively pursued. But it seems like Google, you know, the Google Compute Engine has thrown its weight behind Kubernetes. Obviously, Red Hat has too. You know, I think Red Hat has actually bought OpenShift.
Justin, may I ask you if you charge, like, the infrastructure that you have now, do you have to pay for the views? I am not quite familiar. Like, do they charge you per terabyte, or how does it work?
Sorry, would who charge us?
Like, you mentioned Cybers, right? But if you have...
As far as I know, they don't charge us anything. They just, okay. It's part of their
service
or mandate or whatever to enable access to their hardware for systems. And we've used it in the past for mirrors and backup sites for Plantium. But they've told us before they don't really want us using it for a mirror anymore, but I think new stuff, they're a little more willing to deal with it. But as far as I know, they haven't charged us anything, but I don't think any of them have had nearly that much traffic that it would warrant something like that anyway.
Gotcha. I was just asking that in terms of like grant writing. So that's good to know.
Yeah. I do know, actually, the reason we did it was someone at NSF was hoping to get Cyverse involved in more grants, so we specifically wrote it in that we were going to use some of their infrastructure to help do our thing. And I think part of it was to kind of justify Cyverse for NSF.
And whoa. All right. Loud noise here.
But I was not involved a whole lot with the whole grant writing process. Lowell might have more info on that, but I know we specifically wrote in that Cyverse was involved for political reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. So, Justin, on our servers, would there be a place where we could put this?
Our main web server should have enough hardware. It's a 32 CPU, half terabyte of RAM machine. It actually might not have enough space for its half terabyte of data storage, but we can add to that, I think, if we need to. And if we're just doing like a POC level thing, I don't think that we'd have that much data for it anyways.
Yeah.
But we can deal with that when we have to. I think we can expand it. It just currently doesn't have that much room. That's definitely larger than the Plantium project now is about 200 gigs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have a terabyte of data to start with, that's for sure.
Right. And if it's mostly RAM intensive, that machine should have plenty, but that is our live server, so we'd probably develop on our dev server, which is, I think, 64. But that's something we can deal with when we get there.
Okay. Well, it's 2:00 and I have to actually get out of the conference room here and I have to go pick up my car from the dealership. But so let's kind of wrap up and decide where we're at from here and what we want to do next.
So I think from my end, I can contribute just essentially cleaning up some of the work that we've done and trying to, we did get to the point where, and I was trying to find it, but I was having a hard time locating it. We got to the point where I did finish cleaning up that Arabidopsis input data and in the way that the ZFIN data had been input into PhenoScape. And so it's somewhere, I think maybe that had been done with Jim. I need to maybe connect with Jim over that, but that is in and of itself a lot of input data that's already there.
Okay.
That could go. I think for me reviewing that and seeing how much, I think I don't fully understand what the next steps are that need to happen in terms of input into PhenoScape at that point, if that makes sense. I think that it's like all squared away and ready to go, but we didn't ever get to a place where it was actually added, I think. And then we got it all formatted. So I think that's connecting with Jim and just and seeing what needs to happen next, Jim and Hilmar.
Yeah. And I was looking over our, we had some things, I was got onto Slack yesterday and I was looking at what we had on the Gitter channel. And there's, I remember now that Jim had set up a taxon file for us. And there's a link in our Gitter channel about that. I was going to copy that over so that we have it on this document. Because I remember he was extracting the taxonomy file, I guess, that we needed from NCBI.
And then so I guess also the other thing that I'd also like to do is just to figure out what those characters are that we'd like to target. Right. So just looking at what's available on Flora's, comparing it with what we have for Rabidopsis, thinking about the big questions, and kind of, so that's, those are the two things that I think are my immediate priorities and kind of next aims.
Okay, well, should we plan to talk again soon and follow up? I think if we don't kind of keep following up on this, things may kind of fall to the wayside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How often should we meet?
Well, I would like to meet again next week so that we don't lose this momentum that we have, if that works for you guys.
What are you thinking of? Do you have plans for between here and next week of
plans in terms of this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still sort of at the point of trying to figure out where we were at and where these files are and what's going on with Phoenix. And I was getting an error message from Phoenix when I tried to open it yesterday. So I'm going to work on that and see what's going on with that. But
maybe
I just think
we'll
haven't
a little bit
worked
more
on this. For
and the issue with Phoenix is, so Phoenix takes, takes
the matrix
characteristics from, so if we're not using the matrices, like in the Nexus format, so Phoenix is actually taking a different input than what we were, than.
I thought we were converting it to Nexus.
Well, we,
to XML.
I mean.
Nexml, but isn't that what?
Oh yeah, Nexml, yeah. So we haven't done that. So we'd have to get, it essentially would mean an extra step of taking the ETC output and then converting, like coding it in a way where maybe we don't need to.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, that was kind of where we were with Phoenix was evaluating where if we don't use the same format, the same inputs as the original Phoenixscape did, then we're gonna have to make some modifications to Phoenix.
Okay.
Or use a different system. I don't know. So we need to understand that.
Well, I'm sorry. I really have to go here.
I'm
gonna get out of here. But I think we have lots of things we need to talk about. So I don't know what works for people. I mean, does next week work, or do you want to leave it a week, or what do you want?
It works. Either works for me.
I just think if I have so many different projects going on, which I'm sure you all do too, but if I have a meeting planned for something, it motivates work getting done on it. So... and then we can bring questions and discuss things and maybe evaluate the list of characters that we might look at and figure out what resources are there.
Available at exactly the same time next week. So maybe we can reevaluate and find, I can send up a doodle poll or something for a time that would generally work for everybody every week. Maybe.
Yeah. Morning works better for me for sure. As you know, because I can do it in my office in the first thing in the morning.
But, well, and your afternoon is our evening
too. Yeah, I know. So, this is getting late for you guys on Friday. Yeah. So, and 1 o'clock is actually a little bit difficult for me because of the logistics of the conference room and so on. I work in a shared office, so it's a little bit hard to have group meetings. Like,
yeah, I don't have my own office either.
So I try to accommodate my office mates.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a great idea. Let's put together a little doodle poll, see if we can find a time slot that works.
Okay.
Because I think just talking together is really good. It gets it to the front of everybody's minds. And yeah. Okay. So shall we stop here and then continue this?
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, people are welcome to put notes on here if you have thoughts and, you know, things that, I'll try to fill in the notes a little bit when I get a minute late, a little bit later today. And I think we had some good discussions.
Yeah.
So,
and sounds good.
And one of the things I'll do, Annika, is look over this data file, the Rhabdopsis data file.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe. And I did do, I mean, I did convert it into the right format and stuff. Like.
Right. I'm just wondering where that went though. We could both look for it. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I have, I can send, yeah, I can find things and send
it. Okay, that's great, yeah. Alrighty, very good. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Looking forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Hilmar. Thanks, Justin,
for coming.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your time, everyone.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Enjoy the wedding.
All right, I'm going to end here.